Open your Bibles this morning to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We'll be studying verses 13 and 14. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. Our subject this morning is the dead and the coming of Jesus. The dead and the coming of Jesus. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. The Thessalonians had been grieving because they did not know the relationship of their dead to the appearing of Jesus Christ. They had been taught that Jesus was coming back to this earth. And Paul and the missionaries had left. And since Paul and his fellow workers had left, they had experienced death in the church. Some of the believers, some in the church, had died. And as these Thessalonians began to think about the glorious coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they became concerned about those who had already died. And they began to believe that if Jesus and when Jesus came, these people would miss the coming or the going to meet the Lord in the air. And this disturbed them, and they were ignorant of the relationship of their dead to Jesus Christ. The word that's translated ignorant is agnostic, transliterated, agnosko. Gnosko is knowledge. It simply means you are without knowledge. And Paul said, I would not have you to be without knowledge. I want you to have knowledge of the coming of Jesus and the resurrection of the dead. I want you to have knowledge of the relationship of the dead to the coming of Jesus and the living to the coming of Jesus Christ. Timothy had probably come to Paul and had told Paul of the grieving of the Thessalonians. And because of this, Paul wrote them a letter. It was early in the church's history, and some of their members had died, and they had no letter from Paul or any of the other inspired writers which they could look and study and know of assurance what had happened and what would be happening when Jesus comes again. The Bible tells us that Paul then set about to reveal to them the truth. In verse 15, the Bible tells us that Paul used the expression, by the word of the Lord. He tells them, I'm going to reveal the truth to you, and I'm going to do it by the word of the Lord. I want you to know what has happened so that you may be comforted. The Bible tells us that Paul said in verse 18 when it concluded the revelation, wherefore comfort one another with these words. These people, as I said, were quite ignorant of the will of God in this matter. They were quite ignorant of the facts in the matter. And because of this lack of knowledge, they were enslaved and fearful and frightened and grieving. The Bible tells us that they began to grieve, and the word grieve has in it the idea of undue stress. It has in it the idea of a continual thinking. Their minds had become occupied with this question and with this problem. What about our dead? What about those who have died? What about the coming of Jesus Christ? What's going to happen? This grieved the people because they did not want their brothers and sisters to miss the parousia, the coming, the appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Paul writes to them, and he immediately addresses himself in this part of the letter to them which are asleep. Paul writes, now concerning them which are asleep. Now I want us to look at the word asleep for just a minute. There are those who believe that when you die, you cease to exist, that you're not conscious, that you're not aware, that as a person who is sleeping has no awareness of the surroundings that he may be involved in. So those people who die at this time go into a state of animation. They go into of suspended animation, rather. They go into a state of simply not knowing, of not feeling, of not being able to make any kind of decisions or contact, to know, to feel. They're totally without knowledge. Now, Paul said, I want to write you concerning them which are asleep. And the word asleep here could be translated those sleeping, those lying asleep, or those falling asleep from time to time. There's no question but what it has reference to those that have died. Jesus used this figurative language himself. You'll find in Mark 5:39 that Jesus had come upon a group and they were mourning a dead lady. And the Bible tells us that Jesus came and he said unto them, why make you this ado? They were mourning this lady who had died. He said, why do you make this ado and why do you weep? This damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. Someone says, see, there's a difference in being dead, and there's a difference in sleeping. And right now, people are sleeping. When they're dead, they know not anything. This is not true. I think that the statement that Paul made, and the statement that Jesus made in reference to sleeping, that it means that this is a state that is temporary. And just as a person goes to sleep and has the appearance of not knowing, has the appearance of no movement, then a person who dies, their body assumes the same state. But whenever you come and shake them, or when you call to them, then they awaken and they rise up out of their sleep. And Jesus Christ demonstrated this when he spoke to the damsel, whom he said was not dead but was sleeping. He meant this woman can be awakened, and she has not gone to a place or not assumed a state of annihilation. She can be raised again. And Jesus spoke to her and raised her up as though she were sleeping. And the Bible tells us that this is what's going to happen. We'll study this tonight as we study the resurrection and the rapture, that Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth with a shout that is literally a command. It comes from the military. It means as a general shouts encouragement to his troops, Jesus Christ will come and will shout, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Jesus just spoke words to the damsel a little early, and she was raised from the dead. It even had the appearance of one being awakened from the sleep. It simply reflects the attitude of the early Christians who called their burial places cemeteries. When you look at a synonym for cemetery, you'll find that a good one is dormitory. They said, when our people die, we take them to a dormitory. We take the body. What is a dormitory? It's a place to rest and a place to sleep. Isn't that a wonderful word for us to use in connection with a cemetery? It is a dormitory. We're going to take the body out to the dormitory. We're going to put it in an earthly chamber, in an earthly room, and let it rest and let it sleep until Jesus comes again. And then by his shout, he will awaken it, and it will be raised from the grave. This is what Paul means when he says, concerning them which sleep in Jesus Christ. Because the Bible plainly reveals the state of the dead in Jesus Christ. Now I want to emphasize this morning, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the saved dead. I'm talking about the ones that are asleep in Jesus. There's a difference in the state of the dead now. Those who sleep in Jesus Christ, so the Bible tells us, are in paradise. When the thief was dying with Jesus Christ, they were both being crucified. The Bible tells us that Jesus said to him, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it's the same word that we get park, our restful atmosphere and place from. And the dead in Christ are with Jesus in a state of rest, in a state of happiness. They're in God's park waiting for the coming of Jesus, when their bodies will be raised as though their bodies had been sleeping. And the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5 and 8 that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When are we present with the Lord? Just as soon as we're absent from the body. We become at that instant present with the Lord. But you say, what about our bodies? Well, the Bible calls them our earthly tabernacle, our earthly home. And the Bible tells us we have a home which is from heaven. Now those words home and tabernacle refer to the physical body. Now this earthly tabernacle will be put in the grave, and it will go back to the dust from which God gathered material to make it in the first place. And one of these days, he's coming back, and when he does, then the tabernacle which is in heaven will take the place of the tabernacle which is of the earth. And our spirits will inhabit again a tabernacle, a body, but it will be like unto the body of Jesus, not subject unto sickness, to death, or to die. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Just that quick, just that fast. Immediately when the spirit leaves the body, then the body's dead, but the spirit goes to be in the presence of Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us that it is as sowing seed. You'll notice in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that Paul uses this expression. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 35 and 38. But some man will say, verse 35, but some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, thou that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat, or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. Now notice, the seed is in the ground, and the seed is decayed. But out of that comes a body that is exactly like the body that died. Whenever you plant wheat, wheat comes from that seed, and you have a new grain of wheat. But it's identical to the grain of wheat that went into the ground and was absorbed by the earth. And out of it there arose a body. And that's the kind of body we're going to have. You'll plant it in the earth, but it will die, it will decay, it'll go back to the dust. But when Jesus comes and speaks, then it will come out of the earth like a grain of wheat comes up and matures and duplicates the body that it died in order to have or to give life. Jesus and Paul said, this is what's going to happen to our earthly bodies. And don't say that just because it's gone into the grave that God can't do anything about it. Isn't it a marvelous thing that every time we plant a seed, we have a testimony to the resurrection of the dead in Jesus Christ? That every time you look at a field of corn, you have a multitude of testimony concerning the fact that when your body is buried in the grave, then it's going to come out of the grave, even though it's in there for a period of time. How long, we don't know. But one of these days, it'll come out. Why? Because God has decreed it, and God has said it, and God has revealed it. It's the truth, and nothing can stop it. Paul said in Philippians 1:23, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better for you. Paul's talking about dying. He said, it's better for me to depart and to be with Christ. He says that his departure is his arrival. Brother, look, you can't leave this body without arriving. The very instant you depart, you get to be at home. The minute you depart this earth, you arrive in heaven. There is no time lag. There's no way it can be divided. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the Word of God tells us. Paul said, I want you to know these facts concerning them which are asleep. To them that have fallen asleep, to them that are going to sleep from time to time, those that are dying, those that are in Christ Jesus, I want you to know these facts so that you will sorrow not as those who have no hope. That you sorrow not. The word sorrow, as I said before, means to grieve. There is a sorrow, but we should not grieve when a lost loved one passes from this life. We should not grieve as though all things were lost and everything had concluded. Doesn't mean that when we see a loved one silent in death, in the sleep of the dead, that we do not shed tears. We do. We feel the loss. But down deep inside of us is the knowledge, sure and steadfast, that this is not the end, that they have not gone to a place that is a place where there is no knowledge or no life or no sunshine. They have gone into the presence of Jesus Christ. That you grieve not as those who are outside, literally. And Paul means the pagans. He means the people outside the church who were unbelievers. Don't grieve like these people do. And why would they grieve? Their philosophers had said there is no resurrection from the dead. Aeschylus said, of a man once dead, there is no resurrection. Theocritus wrote, hopes are among the living, the dead are without hope. Catullus wrote, suns may set and rise again, but we, when once our brief light goes down, must sleep an endless night. Lucretius wrote, no one wakes and rises who has been overtaken by the chilling end of life. Their philosophers had concluded that once life ended, there was no hope. And these people who had been schooled in the ways of the philosophers were still influenced by their teaching, and they could not shake it from their minds that great men such as I've quoted had said that no one wakes, that no one rises, that hopes are dead, and that those who die are in an endless night. They still believed it. They still accepted it. And Paul said, I don't want you to grieve like those people outside who have staked their eternity upon the writing of the philosophers. You don't have to be like those people, those that are without. The Bible tells us that he then began to assure them in verse 14. And the assurance was this. This is the answer. This is the key. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And that isn't expressing doubt. Paul isn't saying, now if it's really true. He isn't bringing up the possibility that the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ might be false. But he is saying, if we believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again. We believe that, Paul said. We've staked our souls on it. Literally, our souls we have staked on the death and the resurrection of the Son of God. If we believe that, in the same manner, in like fashion, Christ will be raised and Jesus will bring them back with him. In the same way we believe that Jesus died and was buried and rose again, we ought to believe with the same conviction that when Jesus Christ comes again, he will bring them. Who? All those who sleep in Jesus, he'll bring them with him. In the same manner that Jesus was buried and rose again, the same truth, the same conviction, then those who die in the Lord will God bring with him. And Paul uses the phrase asleep in Jesus. And I can't think of a phrase anywhere in sacred literature. I cannot think of a phrase anywhere in secular literature. And as I try to remember, I cannot recall a phrase spoken by a man. I cannot recall a phrase ever read that has so much truth and has so much comfort as the phrase asleep in Jesus. Whenever you look at a loved one and it's time to put them into the ground and think of asleep in Jesus. And every time you get discouraged and wonder how on earth you're ever going to make it. With all of the sins that you have and all of the sins that you have. With all of the sin that faces you, all of the sin that's around you, and all of the sin that's in you, there's not a way in the world that none of us can make it unless we are asleep in Jesus. You say, preacher, you mean to tell me that I'm supposed to be dead in Jesus? Yes. For we are dead in Jesus Christ, and our lives are hidden in Jesus Christ. Listen. When Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary and he shed his blood, then he was shedding a blood that was the sacrifice for the sins of the world. He was shedding blood that was the propitiation, the satisfaction of God. And when that blood is upon us, then we are resting in Jesus Christ. We are reclining in the work that Jesus has done for us on the cross of Calvary, and as he overcame death, hell, and the grave, and came out alive, he was planted and he rose up asleep in Jesus. And we're going to sleep one by one. We're going to sleep, if the Lord tarries, is coming one by one, or God only knows, we may all go to sleep together. I don't know. That's what it is. Sleep. To be taken and placed in the dormitory to rest until Jesus comes again. Wherefore, Paul said, comfort one another with these words. Grieve not as those that have no hope. The things that I say to you this morning are the very foundation of the Christian faith. And people have talked about, if a man die, shall he live again? And the Word of God says, yes. If a man die, shall he live again? Jesus says, rise up. And Paul says, grieve not. And every seed we plant in the ground says, yes. He is asleep in Jesus. Do you trust him? Are you relying upon him? Are you reposing in him? Have you placed your life and your soul in his care and said, Lord, you care for it? Are you sleeping in Jesus?